Hi, welcome to Dr. Lisa Solcenti's podcast. I'm Dr. Lisa, and today we're going to talk about tackling depression naturally. And before we begin, remember that my podcast is informational, educational only. This doesn't replace, you know, treatment with a medical doctor or any treatment that you're undergoing. And any questions you ever have about any of this, you could always contact me and we could work together. So this is all educational, but I am really excited to share this information with you, as I always am. So I did have a question that was popping up a lot. And today, it wasn't even on my agenda to address this. I had actually a whole different agenda for today, but I jumped into this because I recently took a seminar with a doctor. His name is Dr. Grant. And it just hit me today when I saw this question, and it's come up a bunch of times, that I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna blog about this, I'm gonna podcast about this, I'm just super, super excited. So you're catching me at like an absolute high today because I push everything aside and I'm doing this. So her question was, her name's Tessa from Florida, and she said, I'm having trouble keeping a healthy state of mind and having an excellent therapist. And trying many therapies. So she has an excellent therapist, and she's saying that she's tried cognitive, neurofeedback, medication, chiropractic, yoga, and doing all she can do, but she wants to know, what else can I do to help me tackle my depression naturally with functional medicine? How can you help me? So her email to me was, what do you do? How would this work? And can it help me? And I really, really love this question because it gets to the root of how our body works. And when we do this, when we jump in and we start thinking like, how can I go deeper? What is going on inside my body? I'm doing all this natural stuff. I'm eating healthy. I have a great therapist. I'm doing medication, or I'm doing chiropractic, or I'm doing yoga. I'm trying everything. And when you start really diving in deep, peeling back the onion, so to say, or the layers, you start asking yourself, well, what's going on? How does the body work? And I just love that, because that is really, once you start asking those questions, you're going to look for the root cause of your problem. And in her case, we're looking for the root cause of her depression. Now, before I begin this, it's really not an attack on any other profession or therapies that work with depression. There are many, many factors and possible causes of depression. So I'm not here trying to say you shouldn't do them or you shouldn't try them. I just really want to focus on one concept here. If you haven't considered it, it's called balancing the systems in the body. So we're really diving deep and looking at the body. And this means that we looked at the systems and we try to locate what system in the body, is it working properly, and ask ourselves why. Now, the other thing that I know and I'm trained is it isn't just one system. All the systems are connected, they're integrated. So if we see one system failing and we can figure out why, we also have to look at the other systems too, because it's never just one problem. And that's the big difference between functional medicine and, I guess, conventional, is that, for example, if we're looking at the brain right now, it's just not going to be one thing of the brain. Like for when I do thyroid with people, we are looking at the thyroid, but it's, you know, it's just not a thyroid problem. It's not just about the thyroid. You just don't look at the thyroid numbers and that's it, and give a prescription and treat the thyroid. It's a whole body system. So we're looking at that. And so once we can figure out where in the body it's broken, what systems are not working properly, our focus is really to get them working to their optimal ability. And believe it or not, when we do this, this is when your therapies will actually achieve better and optimal results. So I did this with my son, and who has Asperger's. At the time, that's what it was diagnosed with when he was about 6. He's 23 now, so I have years and years experience with therapy and therapists. We have bad ones and fantastic ones. But it doesn't matter what therapy we're doing, right? So if we were doing cognitive therapy, if we were doing anger management, if we were doing, which kind of go together, but if we were doing speech, if we were doing OT, if we were doing PT, it didn't really matter what we were doing. Many times I wasn't getting, I'd plateau, right? He wasn't getting past a certain point. And the reason for that was there were things going on in the body that we weren't addressing. We were just treating the symptoms. So that's a whole nother story, because for him, we got down into the gut, we did the leaky gut, and I didn't have the ability to really test neurotransmitters at the time. So I was really working in balancing these different systems, his liver, his gut, his brain, through leaky gut. So that is a big part of this talk is leaky gut, but I'm really focusing on neurotransmitters today and systems. So let's start with what is depression? And Dr. Grant, he said a few things that were so profound in the seminar that I wanted to share it with you today. And he explained to a group of practitioners that there's two differences or two different definitions of depression out there. The one which is the common one, which the DSM-5 and the medical field recognize. And it's a collage of symptoms, which include feelings of helplessness, hopelessness, a loss of interest in daily activities, appetite, changes in appetite. So you're hungry or you're not hungry, sleep problems, anger, irritability, loss of energy, fatigue, self-loathing, and reckless behaviors. And the first definition that I'm using right now is describing the appearance of a person or a patient, not the actual cause of what's going on within the body. So that's the difference he wants to make, is that we've all always been focused on these symptoms and the appearance of the patient. And you've gotten these forms where you filled them out. And this is true with ADD and ADHD and all that. You've gotten these forms and you fill them out and they're asking you questions and they're about your appearance and your symptoms, right? In functional medicine, we're going to go a second definition, which is defining the cause of this appearance that you see. We are more concerned with the cause, because once we figure out the cause, we can balance the problems and change the symptoms that the medical world defines as a disease or an illness. This is a huge difference, because mainstream medical and some alternative approaches, right? This includes psychotherapies and even supplements and nutrition. We're focused on treating the symptom, right? Again, I'm not knocking many therapies. Here, Tessa just told us the bunch that she's doing and have tried. Many are very supportive and life-changing. I am, however, challenging you to look at this from a different perspective and look for the cause. So your therapies actually will be much, much more effective. And that's what we did when I worked with Luke, my son, and I really got into his gut and balanced out neurotransmitters. He started to excel. It took me a few years to figure out, but once I did, and that's what I'm an expert in today, is he started excelling in these therapies. And today he's a super functioning adult and overcame so many challenges for autism spectrum disorders, or at the time Asperger's. So that's what I'm asking you to do. I'm challenging you to look at this from a different perspective, right? And these works, they work on a lot of these therapies that you do. They're collective and they're all kind of focusing on the same thing, which is stimulating your prefrontal cortex of the brain. And we're all working together to try to downregulate or turn off the fight or flight response in the nervous system. And we're going to get into that a little bit deeper. But Dr. Grant explains this really, really well. So if you have an external input coming into the body that you're dealing with, so it could be something you're imagining, right? Because there's fear, there's worry, there's all these things. It could be something that you're remembering. You also could be contending with someone or something going on. And that input coming in, you're going to compare it, you're going to judge it, you're going to align it with your perspective and what they call an internal mapping of your brain and how you perceive life. It's your expectations. It's how you see life in the world. Now, we know this part is actually shaped by things as such as past experiences, morals that you're taught, your family upbringing, trauma, events, social settings, school, teachers, people you've met, being bullied, not being bullied, all those different things kind of shapes how you see your world. So when this external input comes in and doesn't match your internal mapping or the demands on how life should be, your expectations, you are going to get caught in what's called cognitive dissonance. And your body is going to go into a fight or flight response. And that's what the brain and nervous system are going to generate, a consequence to this cognitive dissonance. What it usually is some kind of emotional, it could be an irrational response, and it could even be a life-damaging behavior that you choose to do. And you might be dealing also with a person that responds this way. They might have an irrational outlook on life. Their demands are a certain way, and then their response to you is going to be irrational. So this could be happening to you, but this also could be happening to someone you're dealing with. And you may think this external output is the cause. So that's what we do. That's the number one thing we do wrong, is you're going to think, oh, the thing I'm imagining or the thing I'm remembering or this thing that this person's doing to me is the cause of my dissonance, right? It's cause of my response. It's the cause of my reaction or my behavior. But in reality, we know that's not true because we can't really control other people's behaviors and how they treat us, for example. So let's just say that you're responding to some way someone's treating you. You can't control the input. You can't control the thing happening to you. You can't control if you're having a fear over something, you're imagining something that hasn't happened yet, this worry. You can control, again, what you think of it, right? And that's where therapy steps in. We can't make everyone like us or care about us. We can't be perfect. It's okay to make mistakes. We cannot have everything we want. And we all must have to understand that life's not fair. And that's why I do think therapy is important, because cognitive therapy focuses on trying to change your internal expectations and how you see your life, or an expectation that you have on somebody. And this is a really hard part that I struggle with. I don't know if you do, but you kind of have these expectations. You treat people a certain way and you expect them to treat you a certain way. And when they don't, when that input fails to meet your expectation or how you see life, that's where the problems come. So you can get angry, you can get upset, you can get hurt, right? You get this emotional, irrational response. And so what cognitive therapy tries to do is focus on that area, the area of your internal, what you can control, how you perceive something, what you think about something. It's a very supportive, effective approach because you can control how you think, how you perceive, how you interact with some. But again, some of these expectations, some of these boundaries, some of these morals that we have are there to protect us. And we don't want to always, let's say, be the doormat. We don't always want to be the one that's going to lower, you know, your morals or your values or how you see the world, you know, so to avoid this conflict or this depression that comes from this area. So there is a fine dance with our therapist is learning how to work on expectations and not allowing irrational people to harm us as well. So I do find cognitive therapy to work wonderful, but the thing here is if your neurotransmitters are not balanced, and this is the part I want to tell you, because cognitive dissonance and cognitive therapy is super important, and it's coming from these areas of the brain, right, where we're trying to make changes. But if the neurotransmitters are not balanced, if these pathways I'm about to talk to you are not balanced, this story that I'm talking about is very difficult to achieve. So I'm bringing it up because I do have a therapist in my office. She's wonderful. And I just love her work. I adore her. She actually has worked with my sons. And we work together, her and I, to make sure the patients have the nutrient support, have the neurotransmitters working, get that prefrontal cortex working so it can do what it needs to do. So all these therapies, even including like, you know, yoga and meditation and these things, they're working really hard to get you out of the fight or flight response. They're trying to get you out of that worry, right? They're trying to get you out of the anxiety. They're trying to get you out of the fear response. And so we're all working together, but if you're lacking the neurotransmitters and the vital cofactors to do so, you might not be able to do so, right? That's what this whole thing's about. This is what I'm super excited about today to talk to you about. Because the key in understanding how to get the root cause, how to help overcome some of these things is to get the root, to do the root cause, is what I'm trying to say. Your neurotransmitters must be present, balance in order to shut off that fight or flight. And so I need to step back and talk about what is fight or flight. When I do talks, I tell people, and I always put it up on the screen, to think of a light switch. And if you turn the light switch on, you're turning your nervous system on. And if you turn the light switch off, you're turning the nervous system off, right? It's not as cut and dry as when I'm talking today. It's very simplistic, but I just want you to get the idea. So they're meant in balance with each other. You don't want just one. You need the fight or flight response. The fight or flight response is when you're going to turn your nervous system on. It's going to go on and it's going to get ready to fight something or flight. Animals have this instinctively. So if you're going to be attacked by, you know, a bear, you're going to get in fight or flight response, right? If you're going to get scared or worried or frightened, you're going to get into fight or flight response. It's there to protect us. It's super primitive. It's super important. You don't want to not have it. The body is going to dump in chemicals that it needs to do, and it's going to protect the body. What basically happens is your heart rate goes up. Your blood is going to actually leave the center of your body, you know, and travel out to the distal. So your limbs are going to get more blood supply because it's ready to run. So there's all these things. Your heart rate goes up. You can know when you're about to have a panic attack, you feel your heart rate go up, right? That's this anxiety that kicks in. Anxiety, fear, worry. It's all in the fight or flight response. So it's turning the nervous system on, right? So it's really, really important. One of the neurotransmitters I want to talk about, I'm not going to talk about all of them. I actually have a previous blog post. It says, it's called Should I Test Neurotransmitters? And I have it on my podcast. So if you want to learn about in more depth some of these neurotransmitters, you can go to my previous blog post at drlisasoulcenti.com, and you can actually go to my previous podcast. But I'm going to go over two main ones on how they work with this fight or flight response. Dopamine is actually a pleasure and reward. And Dr. Grant calls it your brain's natural Ritalin, right? It's making you happy. It's making you focused. It's making you on, right? And therapies do try to focus on dopamine, right? Because if somebody is low in dopamine, they're going to have issues. So you could use visualization, cognitive therapy, behavioral exercise, lifestyles, medicines, nutrition, things we talk about, opioids, actually focus on dopamine. People that always need the reward or the pleasure, they're getting the adrenaline rush. Could be low dopamine or problems with this whole pathway. I don't want to say low dopamine because the pathway it involves so many cofactors, and that's what my job is, to look at where the problem is. They generalize it and just say, oh, you have a dopamine problem, but it might not be specifically dopamine. You know, it could be a B2 or a magnesium issue. It literally could be iron issues that's driving this pathway incorrectly. But dopamine, is that, let's just say, pleasure or reward. And these therapies, again, are there to stimulate this response. But if you don't have enough dopamine, or if this pathway is not working properly, you're not going to feel happy doing these, right? So this is, say you go to yoga, or you're trying to meditate, and you're trying to, you know, find this pleasure area, and you're trying to shut off the fight or flight response, and you're not happy doing any of these things. You're just not getting joy out of yoga or meditation. You know, you're trying to seek out these happiness. You're always seeking out pleasure. You're seeking out thrill. These are like our thrill seekers, right? And this is what happens. So you also don't want dopamine too high. You don't want to drive this where we're having too much, which we call norepinephrine or epinephrine. And it also could be called noradrenaline. It's this adrenaline. And this is the fight or flight when this pathway is too high, if I see this. So we want it balanced correctly. It's really, really important. I know this isn't the depression area, but it does play a role because it's a light switch, right? If this is on and this is driven incorrectly and we don't address this, we're going to have a really hard time shutting it off. Right? And I'm going to get into depression in a minute, but this is definitely a problem too. And it comes with reward and happiness and pleasure seeking. So it deals with the depression pathway. Now, what you need to know is that dopamine has a precursor called tyrosine. So that's an amino acid, and phenylalanine. So it goes, phenylalanine needs to get converted to tyrosine. Tyrosine needs to get converted to dopamine, and dopamine needs to get converted to norepinephrine. And this is where your adrenaline kicks in, or noradrenaline. And then norepinephrine gets considered transferred into epinephrine, which is your final, that's your adrenaline, right? So that's the pathway. And that has to happen step by step by step by step by step. And in order for these things to convert, you need to have what's called cofactors. And I have it on my blog so you can see it, but I didn't put in the cofactors in the little arrows. I was keeping this as simplistic as possible. But I'm the one that is trained trained in this, and that's where my expertise comes in. When you're working with me, you don't really need to know all this, because it's my job to test it, figure out where it's broken, and try to fix this and get this pathway working. So some of the cofactors you need for the story to happen is iron, vitamins B6, B2, copper, magnesium. You also are going to need some of these amino acids that we talked about. And so can you see why someone might be stuck in a chronic imbalance pathway? They might be incapable of turning off the fight or flight no matter what therapies you're doing, right? You might have trouble stimulating the prefrontal cortex, which we try to do in these alternative therapies. I just want you to look a little deeper. Can you see how somebody might go into a depressive state if they can't turn things off, or if they can't shut off? What the body likes to do is just put you in a depressive state, put you in a state where you want to not go anywhere and not be involved with anything, and you want to sleep. Your body's trying to force you to rest, right? It's trying to shut things off and calm things down. And it's trying to fix its imbalance itself is what it's trying to do. So serotonin is the other one, right? And the other one I want to talk about. And again, I know I try to do this in 20 minutes. This one's going to go a little over just because we have a little bit more to talk about. And I'm super excited. So serotonin is another way that we all try to approach turning off this fight or flight response. So again, we're talking about fear, anxiety, panic attacks, just this worry, and always being on this on, this sympathetic on mode. Light switch is on, firing all the time. And this isn't good. Serotonin, Dr. Grant calls it as the body's natural Prozac, because this one's known to be the happy neurotransmitter. It regulates your mood. So we all know low levels isn't good. That's the one that's associated with sadness and depression. And because serotonin promotes a feeling of happiness, it also allows for healthy sleep and rest. So it's a way of turning off the fight or flight. So they kind of work like this light switch, right? And they all play together, believe it or not. Serotonin plays a crucial role in the production of melatonin, and that also helps with this sleeping. A serotonin imbalance can alter your mood, your sleep, and even create brain fog and struggles with brain focus. So this is a lot with ADD, ADHD, this whole story too, but I'm trying to stick on depression here. Tryptophan is the precursor to serotonin. That's an amino acid you need to actually make serotonin. Serotonin is the precursor for melatonin. So do you see how this is like a domino? If you took a bunch of dominoes and, you know, stood them up straight and put them all near each other, one has to be in front of the other to get the final product. So on my blog here, I have it. Tryptophan gets converted to what's called 5-HTP. 5-HTP gets converted to serotonin, and serotonin gets converted to an organic acid metabolite at the end, 5-HIAA. And this pathway, there's much more going on here. I just kept it very simplistic. And some of the cofactors this pathway needs would be iron, B6, copper, B2. Very, very crucial. And you can see again why a person would get stuck in a chronic feeling of sadness, and possibly again the inability to stimulate the prefrontal cortex as we do with these therapies. So as Tess is saying, she's trying things, she's going to therapies, and maybe she's feeling well, but she just feels like she just needs a little bit more. There's just something else she can do. She might be stuck here. There might be something going on in the actual, you know, physiology or the biochemistry of her body that isn't allowing her to just get to that place that she's hoping she can see with her therapies. And then serotonin actually gets converted to melatonin, and it needs what we call SAM. It needs acetyl-CoA, it needs copper and B2. So this is what functional medicine does, and this is what you can do to really, really work on depression. I'm not saying this is the end all, because this is definitely, to me, the root. You know what I'm saying? So this is the root. And if we balance this out and we look at other systems of the body, which I'm not going to get into this podcast, I'm actually going to do another podcast on that, how there are other causes to look at for depression. I think that will be the next one. Again, leaky gut, bacterial infection, heavy metals, things like that. There's other things that are going to cause these pathways to go crazy. Why would you have a B6 deficiency, right? Why would you not have iron? So these are other systems that we're looking at. It's all interconnected. But right here is a huge root. It's a huge root. So if we fix this, if we balance this, and my job is to go look at the gut, is to go look at the liver, is to go look at, you know, the blood and the red blood cells and the iron and all that. That's my job. So if I'm looking at all these systems and I'm getting the body to balance itself, this is the root. And then you can go out into the branches and try these therapies and you'll excel. So what can you do? What I want you to know is, I'm going to wrap this up, but I want you to hear my ending. What functional medicine does, again, I just gave you a little bit of a light thing, but the neurotransmitters, we have a test, right? And I just gave you two. I just went over dopamine and serotonin. And in that, we would be able to test the serotonin level with the melatonin, the tryptophan, the 5-HTP, and the 5-HAA. I'd also be able to test cofactors. If I did the micronutrient and I did my vitamin test with this, I would want to test the iron, the B6, the copper, and the B2. I also can go back to our neurotransmitters test and test the dopamine, the norepinephrine, the epinephrine, and we can look at things that are these end products, which are called HPA, NMN, VMA, DOPAC. Again, you don't need to know all that, but I'm looking at many, many of these cofactors and these pathways to see, where can I support it? Where can I push it forward so it's working properly? I like to say the word broken. I don't know if that offends anyone, but it's an area where the link is broken, right? When you're looking at a mechanic's going to look at the whole car and try to find out where is it not working and try to fix that one spot, right? And then the vitamin test. So what I love to do is when I do this with my patients, and this is really, really big with ADD, ADHD, and autism. If you're listening and you're my followers and we haven't done this, it's fairly new. So definitely come back and do a follow-up visit with me and let's get this done. The neurotransmitter test is a at-home urine collection. So you would order the kit and then you're going to collect urine over four times out of the day, and you're going to send it back and they're going to look at a plethora of things. I just gave you like half, maybe like I gave you a third. And then I love to do it in connection with our micronutrient test. And that is testing a plethora of vitamins, the amino acids, the minerals, and it's really, really key in this pathway that I'm talking about. We do have what's called a neurotransmitter and micronutrient bundle, which is cheaper when you bundle the tests together. And what I want to let you know is two things before I go. You can go to my website, drlisasolcenti.com, and you can order this neurotransmitter micronutrient bundle. Literally go under my test. You can order it right there, click on it, buy it, and the kits will come out to you. And we will get alerted when you purchase it. And we will reach out to you and give you the directions and make sure you get it done. There's also something that you can do where you can book a consultation with me. You can go to my website and you can click book an appointment and I can discuss this with you. We can go over it. If you want to order it, I can place the order for you. There's benefits in meeting with me because I would take a history and I would maybe be able to be like, this is a great test, but I also think you should do what's called the MTHFR test. That's a genetic testing that could actually mess up methylation. I didn't even get into methylation here. I'm going to have another podcast on that, but methylation actually has to occur. You have to be methylating. Your methylation pathways have got to be working for everything that I just talked about. For your dopamine pathway to work, for your serotonin pathway to work, for your liver, for lots of things that go on, we want to make sure we have this detoxification. With the MTHFR is super, super important. And if it's not working, if you have this mutation, it's needed for also glutathione synthesis, the methionine, just lots of things. It's actually incredible. But my point is, I can test for MTHFR. We could do it as an add-on to the neurotransmitter and the micronutrient bundle, which I love to do. If you've done that test already, you could just actually order the bundle without. You need methylation in the dopamine pathway and the norepinephrine pathway. and homocysteine, the methionine pathway. So that's a whole nother thing that I'm just not getting into, but MTHFR is something you want to consider. And another thing you could consider is a heavy metal test. And I didn't get into that, which I said I'll do in another blog test. But just so you know, that's why the consultation is important. If you were like, hey, what else can I do on top of this? Then you would meet with me, because it's hard to navigate sometimes what to do. But I have patients that have been working with me. They know their stuff. Some of your moms are phenomenal in knowing your, and dads, but I just have fantastic moms. And so if you've tested with me, if you already have your MTHFR done, check out the neurotransmitter and micronutrient bundle. You want to do them together. And if you've done a micronutrient test in the past with me, I always tell people I technically wait 7 or 8 months to do it over, because it takes a while to make the changes. And then once we make the changes, I just want time. I need a little bit of time for the body to make the changes. So if you haven't done it in a while, do it, because it's not the same as when you've done it, you know, a year ago. But if you just done it recently, you don't need to do it again. So thank you so much for your time on this one. It might be one of our longest ones, but there's so much here about neurotransmitters. So I want to go back to Tessa's question. She's saying, what else can I do to help tackle my depression naturally with functional medicine? How can you help me? And so, Tessa, I hope I answered your question. You definitely want to look at your neurotransmitters and get down to the root cause of the systems of the body and figure out what the imbalance is. Let's get it balanced. And then your therapies are just going to take off. Okay. Thank you, everyone.